Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. A pleasure to have you with us. I want to remind you that at ExitCoachRadio.com, we have interviewed hundreds and hundreds of advisors, authors, and thought leaders, and you can find all of their content at our audio library that's indexed into 40 different topic file folders, a great place to go and learn about things like business continuity, family business issues, investment planning, life after exit. The list goes on and on. Hope you'll join us there and listen and learn from our advisors, authors, and thought leaders. My first guest today is Greg Melia. Greg is president of Melia Advisory Group, and he's a board member of something called Advisors Academy. We're going to get into that. We're going to find out what Greg does. He helps business owners and individuals that are reaching the retirement age. So let's get some tips from Greg. Greg, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Greg, tell us a little bit about yourself, about Melia Advisory Group and how you started it and what all you do.
Well, our practice is focused on those that are gearing up for retirement and or in retirement, one or both, and really on focusing also on how to prepare to make the switch from wealth accumulation to we're actually spending and taking income, which really needs to be a different strategy involved. And oftentimes, it's misunderstood, in my opinion, where they can maintain the same strategy into retirement and they never change anything, and which can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's a lot of people that are, of course, reaching those milestone ages when they should either be starting to take income or they're starting to think about it. How often and how far in advance do you think people should be thinking about talking to someone like yourself if they're, say, you know, okay, I've got 5 years until retirement. Is that a good timeline or longer? Or what do you think?
I think anywhere in the 50s, mid-50s to maybe even early 50s really needs to start focusing on that. Most retirees, it's kind of interesting, don't really generate a lot of their wealth for savings, or their savings get generated in the later years, in the mid-50s and forward. So if you're sitting out there thinking, well, I've done poorly, often folks are surprised and get really serious about retirement and realizing it's around the corner and really start saving how much they can save in that interim. Usually we're so busy raising children and paying for those costs,
right,
that by the time, you know, they exit the house, we haven't had much to save. And you hit your 50s, you really get your first chance at really putting some money aside.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. It's you know, I don't have any money right now. Kids are going through college, and college is expensive. And then all of a sudden, that gets through, and then they say, wow, I got money in my checking account again. How wonderful. What do I do? Now, do a lot of people, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just going to say that just happened. They look up one day and realize that, wow, I've got some cash, and then they can really focus on getting their debts paid off and really start saving and what I call nesting for retirement.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I met with a couple yesterday, and they were kind of feeling a little bit sheepish about the fact that they hadn't been paying close attention, and they didn't have as much as they thought. And they thought, you know, the market beat us up right after 2008, and for the last few years we've been conservative. And are a lot of people in that position these days? Are they finding that they really are being too conservative, perhaps?
Oh, I don't know. You see a wide range. I mean, a lot of people, you know, we teach a lot about the cycles of the market, and that for 15 years the stock market's actually been a pretty poor performer. We tend to ignore a lot of a lot of advisors out there. In fact, if you look at where the S&P 500 has come in the last 15 years, you probably call this, Bill, just a couple of years ago, they were calling it the lost decade. You know,
yep.
We're just now getting back to where we were at 2000, and suddenly 3 years later, you know, we're up 25%, and as I told a Fox Business Panel news one time, I said, you know, if you're up, you take 25% and you divide that by 15 years, you know what you get? I told them in Oklahoma we call it not a whole lot.
You get a wild ride to nowhere, right? I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah, you get a wild ride.
People are thinking, yeah, they're saying, you know, I'm missing out on these gains, but they don't They're not looking at the big picture. And, you know, most iPhones have that app built right into it. They can look and see what the Dow Jones has done and see the graphs over the last 5 years or so and just see that it's kind of a wild ride. Isn't there an easier way to get, you know, 4% on my money or whatever it's worked out to be?
Yeah, with dividends and interest, I think you're just under 4 if you count dividends and interest. And actually, with just the pure yield, you're at 1.6%. Yeah, dividends, maybe you're probably 3.6, which is awful, you know, for 15 years of – you haven't kept up with inflation. Let's leave it with that. You know, you're not you're behind the eight ball at that point.
Yeah, and Greg, let's turn the corner for a second now. A lot of these a lot of the brokerage companies are coming out with things called robo-advisors that are basically online calculators and tools, and then they will supposedly right size or right allocate your portfolio and keep it in that allocation. Are they good, bad, or what's your thought on these things?
I think they'll serve a good purpose. To me, there will always be a few. It's kind of like years ago when they brought out, you know, I teased my started my career on life insurance. And when they, you probably remember, Bill, when they brought out the first, you know, talked about the internet and how it was going to just take away life insurance from the typical person, you know, the actual person out there selling life insurance. And it never did. I mean, there was definitely was a market, still is a market today. And I think it's going to be the same thing with the robo advisors. It definitely is a niche. I think it's important, going to fill and be helpful for some to be able to find the cheapest cost. But at the end of the day, you know, most people really want a face-to-face with somebody to help them. And I don't think that'll ever take away from that. But there will be those, especially the millennials coming up. You know, they talk about this massive acceleration in growth in the robo-advisors, and the projections I'm seeing is somewhere near 5.6%, you know, by 2022, which, you know, that's not a whole lot as far as the overall market is concerned. Still a lot
so there'll
of money,
it'll be a tool that some people can use, and maybe people with lower balances or high technology kind of a acclimation would say, yeah, this thing. I mean, I guess time will tell if these outperform the advisors, because index funds came along a long time ago, and people said, well, there goes the advisor because these index funds are outperforming the advisors. But then 2008 happened, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, you've got these are computer generated, computer modeled, you know, somebody's plugged in some fancy algorithms and they're, you know, they're coming up with these, and as you said, performance will tell in the future. You know, as was I, if you're going to be in the stock market, Warren Buffett came out and actually said, you know, the S&P 500 has literally outperformed virtually all mutual funds. There's very few that have beat the S&P 500 over a period of time. So if you're going to be in the market, why not just stick with something that's cheap and dumb? And I think there's an argument to be made for that. Although right now I don't like the stock market, I'm not a big fan of it, just for the reason I said earlier. I think we're in a high volatility position, like we've been. We'll continue that for probably another 10 years of high volatility, no growth. And so we're not advising to be much in the stock market at this point anyway.
Now, Greg, the financial services industry is always evolving and trying to meet the needs of changing needs of consumers. And one of the things that they're doing is combining needs into products. For instance, life insurance that offers long-term care protection, annuities that offer guaranteed income as well as abilities to capture high watermarks. Do you see this as a trend that's going to continue as people look for more from their financial services providers?
Yeah, I do. I think it's, you know, and you're even seeing Obama politically talk about the risk concerns of outliving your income, because now they've upgraded, you know, now the average age for a male has been moved up to age 85 and 87 for women, which is just astounding. I can remember in my early career it was, you know, 70, 72.
Right.
And here we
right.
are that much more. And that's having a dynamic impact, because if you make it into your 90s, you really have to start looking at that outliving your money risk. And so now you're even seeing Obama came out a couple of weeks ago talking about the annuities being a tool for, you know, fixed annuities where you can put money in and defer the income for 10 years and then take income for life as one of the tools. So I think those tools become more evident in time, especially as the stock market continues its high volatility gyrations and not really performing well. You know, trying to take income from a stock market, high volatility stock market, is a really tough place to be. And that's where, honestly, a lot of people I see coming to my office, they're trying to take income from stocks and, you know, by selling assets. And it's one of our rules of thumb, don't take income from selling assets. You know, it needs to be from dividends and from the payout of the assets themselves.
And, you know, it seems like the tide has turned a bit from maybe 10 years ago. Big financial writers and reviewers were really anti-annuity, and now they're saying, you know, maybe there is something to this because they can offer protection long-term. And again, that check in the mailbox that everybody wants to have. I think that, to me, it seems like people are saying, I just want to go back to the days when there was a pension plan, when there was a check in your mailbox. You didn't really have to worry about, are you going to run out of money? Is that what you're seeing too?
I couldn't agree more. I think that the understanding, that, and I teach this a lot. I do a lot of workshops across, you know, my area and discuss that retirement is about income. Nobody ever wakes up one day and just spends the entire nest egg. You know, it's how much can I take from the nest egg and not run out? And I like to ask a question to kind of bear that point out is, I'll sit with somebody, I'll say, okay, listen, if you had a pie that was worth $1 million, and you could take 20 grand out for the rest of your life and not run out, and there was no risk, you know, and you could take that, but you couldn't take any more. Or you had $500,000, but you could take 30,000 a year out and never run out. Which pie would you take? Well, anybody in their right mind should take the one, the $500,000 with the 30, because that's what you're going to spend is the 30,000. How much do you really care about what happens after you're gone? Unless you're maybe egotistical and you want to be able to show your net worth is $500,000 more. But the reality is, it's how much can I take out from the pie, not how big the pie is per se.
Well, and as I look at the changing landscape, it used to be you had to make a decision, does my check stop when my heart stops, and does my money go away at that point, right? I mean, that was the
no,
pension plan. Does the check stop when my heart stops, and does the money just go away? And now there are more hybrid solutions that say, well, because on the other side of living too long is that, what if I die in 6 months and I've got 6 months worth of income and my money goes away? And that was the choice you had to make in the past, right?
Yeah, and I think that's I read a great article today that talked about the other issues that you're in retirement is, you know, a lot of times you'll have those that are such great spenders that spending is actually a painful experience. And so they really have struggled spending the money. And the reality is, I believe you have really three phases in retirement. You've got your go-go years, which I call your mid-60s to mid-70s. And then you have your slow-go, right, your mid-70s to mid-80s. And then you have your no-go. Even if you can go, you don't want to go. And so it's really, in those years of go-go years, you really want to be focused on being able to spend the dollars you have. And that's part of the equation, as well as figuring out how much can I spend comfortably and not worry about I'm going to run out when I'm in my no-go years. But yet you don't want to sacrifice your go-go waiting for your no-go. You know, it's like there's a balance there to be had, and that's what we work with our clients, trying to figure out what that looks like for them.
Great point, and I like the fact that you brought up those three stages of retirement, because a lot of people look at these retirement projections with inflation and it's like, well, if I need $30,000 income now, why do I need $100,000 of income when I'm 95? You know, I mean, really? I mean, can't we adjust that down a little bit? I know inflation will come into play, but if we can stage our retirement into those three stages, it changes projections quite a bit, right?
It does, because you do have one of the offsets to inflation is you just simply do less as you get older. You know, yes, it costs more, but at the same time, you know, like my father was an avid fisherman, and that was expensive. He was, you know, in his retirement years, when he quit doing that in his later, you know, then that expense went away, and suddenly he needed less income. And those are kind of things that happen with time. You travel less. You get to the point where you've traveled enough that you want, and you really don't have more. You don't really have a desire to travel further, and you're done. And so those expenses go away. So it is watching all those balls and saying keeping those balls balanced is the, you know, is the task at hand.
Yeah, it is. Listen, retirement planning is situational. It depends on your situation out there, listeners, and it depends on what you see happening. It's got to be customized. It's not something you can turn over to a robot. So that's where people like Greg Melia come into play, and the Melia Advisory Group can help you to really chart that out and take a look and see, what are my stages of retirement? What might I spend in those years, and how do I best invest to take advantage of trends and tax advantages and all the things that make so much sense so I won't run out of money? Greg, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you best.
Best way is just go to my website at MeliaAdvisoryGroup.com. It's M-E-L-I-A, Advisory, A-D-V-I-S-O-R-Y, Group.com. And there's also some wealth of information there, too, as far as videos and about income. And again, I like to tell all my clients that retirement is about income, and I always ask, is bill paying optional in retirement? I had a gentleman come into my office one time after years of talking to him about income, and he finally quit his job and retired, and he said, you know, I've been hearing you talk about income for so long, but boy, the day I quit and I no longer had a paycheck, I really heard you.
Yeah, it's a shocking time for a lot of people. They are afraid because they're like, well, all of a sudden my income doesn't cut it, and that's where you go, well, that's what we've been planning for. We know where the money's going to come from. We got you covered. You have to. It's a real mind shift for a lot of people, isn't it?
Yep, sure is. It really is. Very important mind shift, too.
Now, before we go, tell us a little bit about the Advisors Academy. What's that all about?
It's a group of independently minded advisors that we get together a couple times a year and talk about the economy and about how most advisors today, honestly, are really sold out on the stock market. And as a group, we believe that we are in a long-term, just high volatility market. It's the fourth one in the last 100 years, and we're just repeating history at this point. I think that we're facing, and it's important to understand, is that today, if you look at, you know, the number of people walking in my office that, you know, in their 60s and 70s, and they're literally 100% in the stock market. And we explained to them that 40, 50 years ago, that just wasn't the case. The risk tolerance, because of the 82 to 2000 stock market, that was the best stock market we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And that baby boomer generation experienced that. So their risk tolerance is much higher than it was in the previous generations. And so we really teach and talk about how you really want to take an appropriate risk at this time. You know, retirement is, you know, you want to graduate the risk down as you have less time to recover. It's common sense, but literally the whole buy and hold thing has been so sold out that most advisors, that's just, they've got 100% sitting in the stocks, in the stock market.
Well, again, and I totally agree with you, and I think a big part of that, as I tell people, is that your choices have just been taken away at the low end of your 401k statement, where the fixed and conservative investments are. You're looking at that and seeing no yield and thinking that's a bad thing, but that's just the way the government's been trying to prime the pump for the economy, but it's forced a lot of people up into too much risk. I totally agree with you there. So, listeners, if you want to find out more, again, Greg, tell us your website one more time.
Melia, M-E-L-I-A, advisorygroup.com.
Go there, get some tools, and give Greg a call. Ask him maybe if he should be talking with you about your situation. And, Greg, I sure enjoy having you on the show. It's been a real pleasure and a lot of fun, and I hope you'll come back again sometime and visit with us, and we can get deeper into some of these topics.
Sure will. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. Please stay with us.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.